Riot control agents. Riot control agents, sometimes called tear gas or irritating agents, are chemical compounds that cause immediate irritation to the eyes, mouth, throat, lungs, and skin, temporarily disabling people. Several different compounds are considered riot control agents. All riot agents are solids and require dispersion as aerosolized particles, usually released by pyrotechnics, such as with an exploding tear gas canister, or a propelled spray with the particles suspended in a liquid. Some are sold in small containers as personal defense devices containing either a single agent or a mixture. Some devices also contain a dye to visually mark a sprayed assailant. When dispersed, riot control agents are usually heavier than air. Table 25.5 provides common riot control agent characteristics, CDC, 2013. Because the symptoms of exposure are very similar for all the agents, they are listed only once. In addition to tear gas, mace, pepper spray, and other irritants, the following agents are sometimes categorized as riot control agents. Incapacitant. Produces a temporary disabling condition that persists for hours to days after exposure has occurred, unlike that produced by most riot control agents. Examples of incapacitants include central nervous system, CNS, depressants, anticholinergic CNS stimulants, lysergic acid diethylamide or LSD. Vomiting agent, causes violent, uncontrollable sneezing, coughing, nausea, vomiting, and a general feeling of bodily discomfort. It is dispersed as an aerosol and produces its effects by inhalation or direct action on the eyes. Toxic industrial materials, TIMs. A toxic industrial material, TIM, is an industrial chemical that is toxic at a certain concentration and is produced in quantities exceeding 30 tons, 30.5 tons, per year at one production facility. TIMs are not as lethal as highly toxic nerve agents. However, TIMs pose a far greater threat than chemical warfare agents because they are produced in very large quantities, multiple tons, and are readily available. For example, sulfuric acid is not as lethal as a nerve agent, but it is easier to disseminate large quantities of sulfuric acid because large amounts of it are manufactured and transported every day. Based on a hazard index ranking, high, medium, or low hazard, that OSHA provides, toxic industrial materials, TIMs, are divided into three hazard categories, Table 25.6, Stuemfel, et al. 1998. The categories are defined as follows. High hazard indicates a widely produced, stored, or transported TIM that has high toxicity and is easily vaporized. Medium hazard indicates a TIM that may rank high in some categories but is lower in others, such as number of producers, physical state, or toxicity. Low hazard indicates that this TIM is not likely to be a hazard unless specific operational factors indicate otherwise. Emergency responders should attempt to identify the material involved just as they would at any other hazardous materials incident. Follow all predetermined procedures and the guidelines provided in the ERG and other sources when responding to emergencies involving TIMs. TIMs used as chemical weapons may be identified through traditional methods such as identification of occupancy types and locations, container shapes, hazardous materials placards, labels, and markings, written resources, sensory indicators, use of monitoring and detection devices, operations at chemical attack incidents. The primary operational objective at a chemical attack is to do the greatest good for the greatest number. Responders must be familiar with SOPs/SOGs for handling chemical terrorist attacks and hazardous materials incidents. Chemical attacks may differ from other hazmat incidents in the following ways. Severity of hazards present, such as deadly nerve agents, and need for appropriate PPE to protect against them. Possibility of secondary devices. Mass casualties. Need for rapid decon. Administration of antidotes. Biological attacks. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, defines biological terrorism as an intentional release of viruses, bacteria, or their toxins for the purpose of harming or killing citizens. For types of biological agents. Viral agents, Viruses are the simplest types of microorganisms that can only replicate in their host's living cells. Viruses do not respond to antibiotics, making them an attractive weapon. Bacterial agents. Bacteria are microscopic, single-celled organisms. Most bacteria do not cause disease in people, but when they do, two different mechanisms are possible: invading the tissues or producing poisons, toxins. Rickettsia. Rickettsia are specialized bacteria that live and multiply in arthropods, ticks and fleas, gastrointestinal tracts. They are smaller than most bacteria, but larger than viruses. Like bacteria, they are single-celled organisms with their own metabolisms, and they are susceptible to broad-spectrum antibiotics. However, like viruses, rickettsias only grow in living cells. Most rickettsia spread only through the bite of infected arthropods and not via human contact. Biological toxins. Biological toxins are poisons produced by living organisms. However, the biological organism itself is usually not harmful to people. Some biological toxins have been manufactured synthetically and/or genetically altered in laboratories, figure 25.71. They are similar to chemical agents in the way they are disseminated and in their effectiveness as biological weapons. Biological agents can be transmitted via aerosolization, water, food, insects. An attack using a biological weapon may not be as immediately obvious as an attack using a bomb or industrial chemical. Generally, biological weapons agents do not cause immediate health effects. Most biological agents take hours, days, or weeks to make someone ill, depending on the agent's incubation period. Because of this delay, the cause of illness may not be immediately evident, and the source of the attack may be difficult to trace. In the beginning of a biological weapon attack, only a few patients may exhibit symptoms. The number of infected individuals will increase as the disease continues to transmit from person to person, such as might happen with smallpox. The scope of the problem may not be evident for days or even weeks. However, certain biological toxins, such as saxitoxin, a neurotoxin produced by marine organisms, could potentially act more quickly, in minutes to hours. Biological attack indicators. Biological attacks utilize viruses, bacteria, and/or biological toxins. The effects of biological attacks may not be readily noticeable. Signs and symptoms may take many days to develop. Biological attack indicators include: warning or threat of an attack or received intelligence. Presentation of specific unusual diseases such as smallpox. Unusual number of sick or dying people or animals, often of different species. Multiple casualties with similar signs or symptoms. Dissemination of unscheduled or unusual spray. Abandoned spray devices. Devices may have no distinct odors. Non-endemic illness for the geographic area, for example, Venezuelan equine encephalitis in Europe. Casualty distribution aligned with wind direction. Electronic tracking of signs and symptoms, syndromic surveillance, reported to hospitals, pharmacies, and other healthcare organizations. Illnesses associated with a common source of food, water, or location. Large numbers of people exhibiting flu-like symptoms during non-flu months. Depending on the agent used and the scope of an incident, emergency medical services, EMS, responders and healthcare personnel may be the first to realize that there has been a biological attack. In some cases, there may be reliable evidence, such as a witness to an attack, to implicate terrorist activity, or the discovery of a delivery system, such as finding a contaminated dissemination device, from which an infectious agent is subsequently isolated and identified. If a biological attack is suspected, first responders should immediately notify their local healthcare agency. Disease transmission. Specific methods of infectious disease transmission include, figure 25.72. Airborne transmission, inhalation of airborne organisms or toxins. Diseases remain suspended in air for a long time and when inhaled may penetrate deep into the respiratory tract. Airborne transmitted diseases, such as influenza, pneumonia, and polio, can typically survive outside the body for long periods of time. Contact with infected droplets, such as rubella, tuberculosis, and SARS, transmit diseases through contact with mucous membranes of the eyes, nose, and mouth. Droplets generally do not stay airborne for long periods of time. Direct contact, such as touching or kissing an infected person, most sexually transmitted diseases, such as HIV, fall into this category. Other diseases, such as Ebola, transmitted in this way typically do not survive outside the human body for long. Indirect contact, such as touching contaminated surfaces, indirect contact diseases can generally survive on exposed surfaces for extended periods of time. The Norwalk virus is an example of a disease transmitted through indirect contact. Ingestion of contaminated food or water, normally this occurs due to contact with infected fecal material. Examples of diseases transmitted through contaminated food or water include amoebic dysentery and cholera. Vectors. Some diseases, such as Lyme disease and the bubonic plague, are spread by insects, fleas, flies, and mosquitoes, and animals, vectors, such as rodents, mice and rats, and livestock. A disease that is spread by airborne transmission, such as smallpox, has the potential to infect a large number of people more quickly than one that is only transmitted through direct contact, such as HIV or Ebola. Note, many diseases have more than one route of transmission. When developing a biological weapon, the method of transmission is an important consideration. Contagiousness. An infectious disease is one that is caused by a microorganism with the potential to transfer to another person. A contagious disease is one that can spread rapidly from person to person. An attack with a contagious agent, such as smallpox or SARS, has the potential to become an epidemic. Non-contagious diseases will only affect those individuals who have direct exposure to the disease agent itself. Non-contagious diseases will not spread to other people except by contact with the disease agent. Biological attacks with non-contagious agents, such as anthrax and biological toxins, are not contagious. Operations at biological attack incidents. Bioterrorism incidents will most likely cross jurisdictional boundaries. Planning efforts must include provisions for sharing resources, critical information, and management responsibilities. First responders should always adhere to universal precautions whenever they have contact with broken or moist skin, blood, or body fluids. These precautions will protect against many biological agents and/or infected individuals. Universal precautions include: use disposable gloves, figure 25.73. Change gloves between patients to prevent transmitting the infection from patient to patient. Wash hands immediately after removing gloves. Use disposable PPE and a face shield if you anticipate any splashing. Contact the local health department for additional instructions for vaccinations, prophylactic antibiotic therapy, or other appropriate measures for a given disease. In the event of an overt attack or incident, responders should focus on isolation and containment of the biological agent to prevent the spread of pathogens or toxins. Overt attacks could include white powder incidents, with a credible threat, discovery of a suspected biologic laboratory, or witnessed use of spray devices. The following measures may contain indoor attacks: turning off ventilation systems, closing doors and windows, turning off elevators, sealing ducts, windows, and doors using tape, plastic sheets, and expanding foams to restrict airflow. The following actions may help contain overt, outdoor attacks: cover the device or dispersed agent with tarps or other physical barriers to prevent spreading. Decontaminate the dispersed agent with a light spray of water and bleach. Secure and place the suspicious item, package, object, or substance in a sealed hazmat recovery bin or container to mitigate spreading. If possible, keep individuals who have been exposed to biological agents from leaving the scene until a thorough risk assessment has been conducted and appropriate measures taken, potentially in consultation with local health authorities. Whether victims exhibit signs or symptoms of illness, decontamination is recommended for any credible threat involving aerosols or contact with potentially harmful substances. To ensure containment, use the following guidelines. Initially contain persons that may be affected. Decontaminate victims if circumstances indicate the need prior to treatment and transport to a medical facility. Register, record name and contact information, all persons potentially exposed at the incident in case follow-up is required. At biological attack incidents, isolation and containment issues will primarily involve managing infected victims. Public health authorities will likely manage these issues. Local plans for handling a pandemic flu may translate to other contagious disease outbreaks. Radiological and nuclear attacks. Historically, there have been few attempts at radiological terrorism. Threats have been made, and plans to carry out nuclear attacks have been foiled, but a radiological terrorism attack has not yet occurred. Response to a radiological incident is likely to be similar to the response to other emergency incidents. For example, a response to an attack on a shipment of radioactive materials might follow ERG guidelines for radiological materials, with additional consideration given to secondary devices and evidence preservation. Responders may not immediately detect the presence or involvement of radiological materials. Emergency response agencies must include radiation monitoring as a normal part of response to any fire and/or explosion incident. The only way to confirm if radiation is present at an incident is to use radiological monitoring equipment. In the event of a nuclear attack, the scale and scope of the disaster facing the local first responders will probably overwhelm them. Responders will undoubtedly require outside assistance to successfully mitigate the incident. Communication, transportation, water supplies, and resources may be limited or non-existent. The number of casualties and destruction may be overwhelming. When an organized response is possible, responders should apply the same framework for any emergency response with special consideration given to nuclear/radiological hazards. Because nuclear attacks are extremely unlikely, the following sections will only address radiological devices. Radiological and nuclear attack indicators. Radiological attacks utilize weapons that release radiological materials, most likely in the form of dust or powder. Dispersal may be accomplished by including the material in a bomb or explosive device, i.e., a radiological dispersal device, RDD. Radiological attack indicators include warning or threat of an attack or received intelligence. Individuals exhibiting signs and symptoms of radiation exposure. Radiological materials packaging left unattended or abandoned in public locations. Suspicious packages that seem to weigh more than their appearance suggests they should. Such packages may contain lead to shield a radiation source. Activation of radiation detection devices, with or without an explosion. Material that is hot or seems to emit heat without any sign of an external heat source. Glowing material, strongly radioactive material may emit or cause radioluminescence. Nuclear attacks are a little different from radiological attacks. Nuclear attacks are the intentional detonation of a nuclear weapon. Indicators include warning or threat of an attack or received intelligence. Mushroom cloud. Exceptionally large/powerful explosion. Electromagnetic pulse, EMP.